In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It is a lovely thing to be here on this very important day. For those of you who are not familiar, I'm Frank Fuller. I am a retired clergyman and formerly assistant rector here with Ed Bower Sox in the years ago. And it's a great pleasure to be back with you for the next few weeks while Milton takes his sabbatical and he lets me play with you. So thank you all for that, and I hope we have a good time. It's also a very important day because this fourth Sunday of Easter is Good Shepherd Sunday, which has always been a big deal around here because we are the Church of the Good Shepherd. And that gives us a lot of incentive to think about what it is to have a good shepherd and what it is to be good shepherds. And never is that more important than on a day when we are making a few new little lambs for the shepherd's flock. Because the task of the good shepherd and his sheepdogs, which are the clergy and the laity taking care of each other, is to look to the shepherd to see which way he signals, and then to take the lambs and keep them safe and lead them where they ought to go. If I were smart, I would say, go see the movie Babe again, and you'll get it all pretty well straight. But those of you who have not seen Babe, get your Amazon Prime or your Netflix and watch it this afternoon. It's about the young pig that becomes a shepherd. But that's kind of all of us. And we have to relearn that every time we start thinking that we're in charge, which is what our own world keeps telling us to be. You should be the master of your own soul and the captain of your own fate and make your own decisions and stand up on your own hind legs and do all those good things that make you an independent and self-reliant person, and none of that is bad. It's just slightly misleading. We start out not being able to change our own diapers, and we end up the same way. I mean, it's a fact. We are in this together. And we have to strike that balance between needing diapers and putting them on. We need to strike that balance between our independence and our dependence on the community. And we are always in a ping pong game back and forth between those two. Be nice if it weren't so, but it is. And the thing that drives us today in this reading of the gospel is Jesus' long disquisition on what it is for him to be the shepherd of his people. It echoes a long meme in the Old Testament among the prophets, who identified the princes and kings and priests and prophets of Israel as the shepherds of God's people Israel, who usually and consistently got it wrong and led the people astray. And so God would have to send one of his prophets or one of his judges to straighten things out, to bring things back to where they ought to be, like a good shepherd dog. Because a sheepdog, if you watch him, acts like a wolf, barks loudly, but is always constantly moving the flock along out of danger's way and into safety and nurture. This is why a shepherd's crook, like the bishop's crook, has two ends. It has the curly end, and it has the pointy end. The curly end is for catching the sheep just before they go off the cliff and pulling them back. And sometimes that hurts, but it's a lot better than plummeting to your death. The other end is the pointy end. That is for sheep who won't get up and move. Like many of us, myself most of all, who become couch potatoes when they get retired. Comfort, perhaps, is an even more dangerous estate than having some kind of enemy or threat. Because when we are comfortable, we are so self-satisfied. We are so sure that everything is just fine, that we are not ready for what life will throw our way. Now, you guys who are new parents, who are tackling this business of being not only parents, but godparents, who are making vows in this service that is to come that are outrageously demanding, take notice that when you say those yes with God's help, the question you're answering is this baby going to learn to be like Jesus from looking at you? If you don't break a sweat when you say that, you have not comprehended what is being asked. None of us have. That's why we all stand up and say, yes, we will support these persons in their life in Christ. Because we are all still very challenged about that. And we remain that till the day of our death, till the day we are received into the light of God's kingdom fully and wholly and truly. Which is why we need clear understanding of what we need a shepherd for. Like sheep, we wander off. Like sheep, we chase all sorts of false promises. Like sheep, we stick our heads in the wire and get tangled up and are all but strangled to death by some of the fixes we get ourselves in. And the shepherd comes to us both to comfort and to goad, to strengthen, and to lead into new ways. Sometimes very strange ways, unfamiliar ways. Things that demand a whole new way of acting and thinking and tasting. The grass doesn't taste as good as it used to, is the sheep version of what we all say, I remember when it was better. Which means we don't remember much at all. What's really crucial, and I like having babies cry in the middle of sermons, if it doesn't, pinch it. Because it's a reminder that there is new life in our midst. One of the things Betty and I have been doing since we were tired is going around to all these smaller churches in the coastal bend that don't have clergy right now. And one of the things that it's been really fun to see by contrast is that so many of the smaller churches really are just a bunch of old folk holding on by their white knuckle fingernails. And the joy it is to be with you in Good Shepherd, to see all the new faces, to see the young faces, to see the young families, is simply a thrill, and it is an attestation that you and Milton and Philip are doing something right. Don't know what it is, but you're doing something wrong. I know some of what it is, because the Episcopalian's favorite way of doing evangelism is making babies. Think about that. And those of you under about 50, you know, give it some thought. But it is a sign of health in the church when babies cry and are annoying. When little one needs to go to the bathroom right in the middle of the consecration prayer. It's amazing how the timing works. Life is supposed to be inconvenient. Life is not supposed to be easy. You will get spoiled if it is easy. And your shepherd is there not to make it easier for you, not even particularly to make it safe for you, but to make you safe in the midst of the many challenges and dangers. To strengthen you and bless you and carry you through all of the challenges and fears of life. And the crucial thing to understand about today's passage, it's not about how we feel about the shepherd. It's about who the shepherd is. The one and only true shepherd is Jesus Christ our Lord, incarnation of the second person, the Holy Word of the Trinity. And the reason that is so important, the reason that is particularly important to a democratic and republican kind of government, is it means that nobody else is. No king, no dictator, no Führer, no commissar supplies what God supplies. We put not our trust in princes, nor in presidential candidates. And when we do, we are really acting like the dumbest of sheep. That should be a comfort to you for the remainder of the summer and fall. People worry so much about, is our country, is our church, is our family falling apart? Of course it's falling apart. That's what humankind does. And God gathers up our fallen parts and knits them together with His Holy Spirit and strengthens and blesses and binds and raises up new. It's called resurrection, and that's what we have at Eastertide. Now, the same thing's going to happen to you guys. Got really bad news. In 16 years, those kids are not going to pay one lick of attention to you. So get in what you can next 4 or 5, because that's about all the shots you got. After that, you're paying attention to the kids. But mostly know that as one of God's sheepdogs for the children in your life, it's not your job to perfect them. It's not your job to see that they are perfectly safe all the time. It's your job to give them that kind of inner confidence and strength and trust in God that they can face whatever life brings them, even when they're not tied to your apron strings. And the source we have for that confidence is that last thunderous sentence in today's gospel. He talks about what it is to be a shepherd. He talks about the sheep who know his name and hear his voice and follow him. And he says it is the Father who has given him his sheep. And then he says this thunderous word that actually is what set off the crucifixion. When the religious establishment heard these words, they said, this guy has got to die. He's getting in the way of our prophets. And that was not prophets who preach. It's prophets who jingle. The Father and I are one. Our confidence in God is founded on the rock that Jesus Christ is sent by God and embodies God and speaks to us for God like no one else ever in history. That those gracious words that so many people want to reduce to sort of useful and optional advice and philosophy? Are the living Word of God, as Jesus is the living Word of God? Yes, we have to study them. Yes, we have to put them in context. But most of all, we have to follow. We have to trust. We have to know that where Christ leads the way, where we look to Him for our example and not to some politician or philosopher or scientist, where we look to Him for our way, we cannot fail. And we cannot fail because, as He assures us again and again and again, He will never let us go. The words we have from Him are not sage advice. They are a promise of a living, constant, real, actual relationship with a risen Lord. Not some guy who died 2,000 years ago and had some really good ideas, but someone you and I talk to every day in our prayers, who leads us in every dream, in every fear, in every exhaustion, in every hope, in every idea. And we find the thread of His leadership and we follow, and He will not let us go. Give your children that, and they can face anything. Hold on to that, and you have overcome the world. Trust in that. Live it. And know that Christ is risen. He is risen in you. And He will never let you go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.